Approved. That's right. Ventria Bioscience has been granted conditional permission to plant 3,500 acres of rice genetically altered to contain human genes. This leads us to ask, can those human genes be contained down on the farm?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 534th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Brisbane who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. And if you are down there, good on you. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. It's engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
And also producer Carol Stafford on the phone. Hello, Carol.
Hi there.
Folks, it's been approved, at least conditionally. The United States Department of Agriculture has granted permission to Ventria Bioscience of Sacramento for its plan to plant 3,500 acres of rice containing human genes in the great state of Kansas. Some say this rice might allow us to control the diarrhea that kills about 2 million children every year. Others say that the genes from this human rice are going to go wild and end up in other varieties of rice and ruin one of our principal economic crops. This leads us to ask today, can those human genes be left down on the farm, or will they escape and go wild? Here to help us find an answer, we have Karen Perry Stillerman, who is the senior analyst from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Karen, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thanks, Michael. It's good to be here.
Good to have you aboard. Tell us a little bit about the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Well, the Union of Concerned Scientists is an organization. It's a science-based organization, and we are committed to protecting the environment and protecting public health. And we work on issues ranging from climate change to issues of genetic engineering in agriculture.
Okay.
And we are based in Cambridge, Massachusetts and Washington, D.C., with an office in Berkeley, California as well.
Well, we always ask, who pays the way?
We are funded by grants from foundations, private foundations, and as well as our members. And we have now about 200,000 members and supporters.
Are there that many scientists in the United States?
They are. Many of them are scientists. Others are other citizens concerned about scientific issues.
Okay, good. Well, not here today with us are people from Ventria Bioscience in Sacramento, California. Ventria is one of the many private firms today looking to capitalize on our ability to transfer genes from one species to another species to create, I think, a third species, an entirely new living thing, like the human rice we're going to be talking about today. First of all, I'd like to ask Karen, maybe you can, since Ventria is not here to help us out, maybe you can help us out. Why on earth would somebody like Ventria Bioscience want to infuse rice with human genes?
Well, Ventria has been growing this rice for a number of years in smaller quantities than what they've proposed for Kansas.
3,500 acres, that's a chunk of land there.
It's actually, well, up to 3,200 acres they're looking at. That's what they will, if the USDA actually approves this, that's what they will be allowed to grow in Kansas. But they've been growing on smaller acreage in the state of North Carolina most recently, but they have also tried to grow this rice product in California and in Missouri. And in both of those cases, farmers were upset about it, were not convinced that that rice, as you say, could be contained down on the farm, and essentially chase them out of those states. But the reason they would do this is they are growing what we would call pharma crops, and that's short for pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
These are crops like rice, like corn or soybeans.
Tobacco or...
They can use tobacco, although the industry has primarily focused on food crops.
Mm-hmm. Why is
that? To date. Well, they've done this because they say we know a lot more about how to grow and control the growing conditions food crops. But what they are doing is they are creating plants that have genes from other organisms, in this case humans.
Okay, so what we're doing here is we're taking genes from the human body and placing them into rice.
That's right. Genetic engineering is a very high-tech science in which, in a laboratory, you take small pieces, incredibly small pieces of genetic material from one organism, essentially splice it into another organism so that organism, that plant in this case, can produce, can do things that the other organism can do. In this case, the plant, the rice, would produce proteins that the human body normally produces. And our bodies produce these proteins in breast milk, in saliva, in human tears.
So the two genes that we're talking about are lactoferrin and lysozyme.
These are the proteins genes will cause the plant to produce, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So we're taking, a genes from somebody's mother, right? Or a woman?
It could be. I don't know where they're getting these original genes. I mean, at this point, they have been growing these plants for some time, and this is one of the problems we have with this technology, is that you splice the genes into the parent plant, and then you breed the plants, and that gene is passed down to the next generation. So it's self-perpetuating as you breed the plants.
So it just doesn't go away.
That's okay. Right. So they continue to carry these traits.
Now, what is Ventria Bioscience hope to get out of this? I mean, why are they doing this? They're able to do it. We can do it, but
right.
Why do they want to do it?
Well, that's an interesting question. They've offered a number of different explanations over the years. One of the main products they say they're working on is a treatment for, as you said earlier, diarrhea. Which we know afflicts many, many children.
It kills,
across the developing world.
2 million children a year, evidently.
Yes. They say that the lactoferrin and the lysozyme, when added to what are called oral rehydration solutions, which is the kind of thing, like a Pedialyte you might give your kids.
Right?
Yeah, and that too.
Yeah.
They say that these will shorten the duration of the illness.
Oh, okay.
They have done some testing of this. Unfortunately, what we know about diarrhea is that, you know, there are ways to prevent this disease. And,
sure. Cleanliness being one of them.
That's right. Sanitation and clean drinking water.
So is there really any other way to get this human gene other than grow it into rice?
Well, there is. And there's another company in Texas called Agenix that is making lactoferrin in a laboratory. They're making it rather than growing it outdoors in plants, they're actually making it in stainless steel tanks, the way you ordinarily make drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're making it as a cancer drug and a topical wound treatment. So it has many properties. It's essentially an antibiotic kind of protein. It fights off germs and disease.
Huh. Okay. You're not the only ones. I mean, the Union of Concerned Scientists isn't the only ones that are concerned with what's going on here. As a matter of fact, there seems to be a lot of concern about it. But what is the concern? What's wrong with planting rice with human genes in the great state of Kansas?
Well, as we know, and as anybody who's ever had a garden knows, you know, plants don't always stay where you want them to. Nature finds ways to spread things like plants and seeds around. And so we're quite concerned that when you start growing plants like these out in the open, especially in food crops, that those plants and those seeds will wind up in our food chain with consequences that we don't really know because, you know, Michael, these proteins being produced experimentally in these plants have not been tested. The Food and Drug Administration does not require that they do any safety testing before they start planting these things out of doors.
Oh, wait a minute.
So we're quite concerned.
You mean nobody's tested any of this on human beings? I mean, we don't know what the consequence of eating this stuff could possibly be?
We don't. And essentially what these companies are doing and what the USDA seems prepared to allow them to do and has been allowing them to do for a couple of years is an uncontrolled experiment on people and out there in farm fields where, you know, these things are very likely to escape, very likely to get into the food chain, and very likely to wind up being eaten unknowingly.
So essentially we're working with we don't know what the consequences are. We
That's
suspect
right.
that the consequences will be what we want them to be, but we really don't know because nobody's really done any tests.
That's right.
Correct? And the company that is doing these things suggests to the federal government that it's okay. The federal government takes this company's word to heart and says, well, it's okay. So then it's okay. So this is what we're going to do.
Essentially, well, that's the case, yes.
Okay, then. Well, folks, what do you think out there? Can the human race be contained, or will its genes escape and invade other living things? Curious to hear what you have to say. The phone number is today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Karen Sperry Perry Spillerman, who is with us from the Union of Concerned Scientists. She's a senior analyst there. And, of course, we have you. Pick up your phones, 831-479-1080 in the California's Great Central Coast, 800-624-2665. Around this beautiful land of yours. Right back, Michael Olson. This is The Food Chain. Do stay tuned. Welcome back out there. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about genes of rice. We're talking about rice that has been genetically modified to contain human genes. The company that wants to do this says that the genes can be used to help speed the recovery of people around the world who get diarrhea. Of particular concern are children and the elderly who suffer greatly from diarrhea. And this human gene that has been infused into rice can, the company says, help them recover quicker. Others say, well, wait a minute here. Do we really know everything we need to know about this gene? Has it been tested on human? Does it work? Is there a danger of taking it? What happens if we can't contain this gene? What happens if it escapes into the environment? Which is reminds me of a story that we have been following here on The Food Chain for a number of years. The story of Percy Smizer, a canola farmer in Canada, who one day woke up to the fact that the canola in his fields was no longer responding to the herbicide that he was using. In other words, it was not being killed by the herbicide that he used to get rid of weeds. And he scratched his head and realized, of course, that somehow Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola, its genetically altered canola, had found its way into his fields. Monsanto found out that Percy Smizer had its seeds in his field. It sued him, and Percy Smizer was found guilty by the Canadian Supreme Court of using Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola seeds, and it didn't matter how those seeds got there. It didn't matter that Percy didn't buy them or steal them or plant them. That the wind blew them there was enough to make Percy Smizer guilty. And now it's hard to find canola in the entire country of Canada that has not been infused with Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola gene. Therefore, according to the Canadian Supreme Court ruling, Monsanto now owns all of the canola grown in Canada simply because its gene blew in the wind and pollinated and contaminated the rest of the canola in Canada. Now we're looking at a situation where Ventria Bioscience of Sacramento, California is going to plant 3,200 or so acres, up to that amount of genetically modified rice in the state of Kansas. And can that human rice, the genes from that human rice, be contained, or will they too escape, as did Monsanto's up in Canada? That's the question we're kind of dealing with today, and always curious to hear what you have to say about these issues. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Karen Perry Stillerman, who is senior analyst from the Union of Concerned Scientists, with us today. Karen, can those genes be contained?
Well, we don't think so, Michael. And the canola incident that you described is a good example. What we know is that, as I said before, plants have a way of moving around, plants and seeds both, where you don't want them. In Kansas,
they become weeds then, right?
They can become weeds, certainly. What we know, actually, is that the USDA, which is the United States Department of Agriculture, which would be overseeing this plan, really has a broken system for dealing with these kinds of plants. And that's not just me speaking. That's actually in the last 6 months, three different U.S. District Court judges have ruled that USDA is not doing its job to protect the environment from various genetically engineered plants.
Well, and can the environment, I mean, can we protect the environment from a gene that can escape, like this human rice gene?
I think it's very difficult to do. We know that the rules that the USDA already has in place are not working. Just like the canola incident you mentioned, recently a judge found that the USDA had failed to uphold the law. And in the case of a golf course grass called creeping bentgrass, which escaped in Oregon and now is growing as a weed all over Oregon.
The creeping bentgrass that's taking over Oregon.
That's right. Another judge recently ruled that the USDA had not properly done its job in approving a Roundup Ready alfalfa, similar to the canola you described before. This would be an alfalfa that would be resistant to that Roundup herbicide. And there are farmers who grow alfalfa both organically and conventionally who are very, very concerned. And the judge said, yes, the USDA erred in not appropriately looking at the risks to the environment and to those other farmers who could be harmed by this plant.
Well, we have a caller on, Rosemary. Rosemary, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning to both of you. A fascinating subject, and thank goodness we have groups like the one that you're speaking of.
Union of Concerned Scientists, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic, fabulous. My question would be, why is it that Ventria cannot do as the company in Texas is doing? What is their reasoning for wanting to put the rice in the soil as opposed to successfully getting these proteins in a laboratory?
Good question.
It doesn't make sense. It's much more work intensive to have something that's out in the soil. You've got to have more labor, and again, of course, the risk of contamination to other plants. And by the by, Percy Schmeiser is one of my personal heroes. I think he's a wonderful fellow. But what would be their logic to argue that they couldn't do this in the laboratory?
Great question, Rosemary. We're going to take
you. I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, that's a great question. Why not grow it in a kettle when you can do it a lot cheaper there?
Well, that is a good question, and one that I guess you'd have to ask Ventria themselves. But
who won't show up to talk?
Exactly.
Right?
So maybe we'll never know.
Well, there we are. So I guess it's a question we have to ask Ventria. And so, why, Ventria? I know you're hiding in the bushes out there. Why is it that we can't do this in a laboratory or in a factory, and why do we have to grow it in rice?
And we think we can do it in laboratories, and that's why the Union of Concerned Scientists, beyond just this rice proposal, is calling for a ban on the use of food crops grown outdoors to produce these kinds of substances, because we do think the risks are too great and there are alternatives.
You also brought to my attention another incident that happened very recently. The dateline on this says March 6th. Yesterday's Department of Agriculture prohibition on planting of a type of long grain rice because of a contamination is another indication that the agency is failing. So we're already experiencing situations in which one kind of rice is contaminating another.
That's right. Three different occasions in just the last 6 or 8 months, we've seen rice grown in this country that's found to be contaminated with not a pharmaceutical rice, but another kind of genetically engineered rice. And it has really, it has thrown farmers for a loop whose products now are questionable. Our export markets are not happy. So the Japanese, the Europeans, to whom we sell a lot of rice in this country, are quite concerned because they don't want genetically engineered rice in the food that they're buying.
What is the difference between what you call farmer rice and other genetically engineered rices?
You can engineer rice or other crops for a variety of reasons. One, as you mentioned, again, going back to the canola and the alfalfa that I mentioned, it would be to make that plant resistant to the application of weed killers. So that might be a sort of what we call an ordinary genetic engineering purpose.
So it's just a matter of intent.
It's a matter of what the gene that you put in that plant allows that plant to do. So in the rice that we're talking about in Kansas, Ventrea's rice, that gene would enable the plant to make these pharmaceutical proteins. And so we refer to it as a pharmacrop.
Okay, so anything that you intend to use as a drug or as a...
Or as an industrial chemical, yes.
Industrial chemical, you call a pharma rice.
That's right.
Okay, folks, the question we're going to pick up when we come back from this short break is, what happens if in the gene escapes and gets out into the environment? What is the consequence of that? What do you think? Do you think we will be able to contain a gene that is infused into rice and planted on 3,200 acres in the beautiful state of Kansas? Do they have tornadoes in Kansas, by the way?
They do, as a matter of fact.
Ask Dorothy, right?
That's right. And okay. We know there have been five tornadoes since 2001 in the very county that they're talking about planting this rice.
Okay. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned. So what happens if the genes go wild, as they seem to have a proclivity of doing? You plant things, you take your plants and you put them in your garden, and all kinds of other weeds seem to find their way in your garden. And what's to stop the genes from genetically modified rice from doing the same thing in that great state of Kansas, where Ventrea Bioscience of Sacramento is going to plant 3,200 acres of this? So let's ask Karen Perry Spillerman, who's a senior analyst from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Karen, what happens when the genes go wild? Oops, let's see, a better pressure button here. There you go. Okay. Go ahead one more time, Karen.
Oh, yes. There's an interesting precedent for this. One of the things that the USDA and Ventrea will say is, well, Kansas is a great place to grow this pharmaceutical rice because they don't grow rice in Kansas, mm-hmm. so there's no rice for it to mix up with. And to that, I look back at an incident that happened in Nebraska a few years ago when a company called Prodigene was growing pharmaceutical corn. Their corn produced a vaccine for pigs. And what happened there...
That would make it a pharma rice.
That would make it a pharma crop, yes. So their pharmaceutical corn grew later, the year after, as volunteers from spilled seed in a field of soybeans. And those soybeans were harvested and made it all the way to a grain elevator there in Nebraska, contaminating about 500,000 bushels of soybeans before anybody caught it. So we know that this can happen.
You mean the genes went from corn to soybeans?
No, the corn, actual corn kernels and plants were in with the soybeans.
Oh, okay, got it.
So if you took those soybeans and made them into soybean oil or made mm-hmm. them into some food product, that corn could have gone right in there with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the kind of mixing that you can see even if the plants aren't breeding with it
with
each other, if they're different species in that case.
What about the genes hopping from rice to other grasses?
Well, you know, one of the things about rice is, and Ventrea talks about this a lot, is that it's self-pollinating, which means that the pollen doesn't blow long distances and breed with plants far away. You know, again, so we don't think that there's a lot of chance of the rice breeding with other rice, particularly in Kansas, although it could have happened in North Carolina a couple of years ago when they were growing near a rice breeding facility, very near it actually, and a hurricane came through in the fall of 2005. And we don't really know because we asked the USDA to find out, you know, what kind of research they did or what kind of investigation they did to find out, well, were any of the pharma crops blown off the site? Did they perhaps mix with this other rice growing nearby? And what we found is that USDA never asked those questions, so we don't even know.
So they didn't answer the question. Let me ask you about the ethics of this, because that's, of course, what we think about. You know, the whole notion of if this goes wild, or perhaps when this goes wild, you know, what are the ethics of we humans consuming, you know, rice that has been infused with human genes? I guess that's what it all boils down to. And yet this subject has been looked at quite extensively by something called the Investigational Review Board of the University of California, Davis. And down in Peru, where this is also a huge issue, where Venturi is also trying to plant its farmer rice, there's a committee of the Peruvian government that looked at this as well. And they haven't found anything wrong ethically or scientifically with this planting. Why do you disagree with them?
Well, you know, my view is that food should be grown for food, and that people should have confidence that the food they're eating is safe and is what they think it is, and that people shouldn't have to worry that the rice they're eating is actually rice with a drug in it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this is something that of concern to people who buy organic food, because if you buy organic food, you can't. It's not supposed to have any genetically modified characteristics about it.
That's right.
And as is the case of the canola farmers of Canada, they've essentially lost their market for organic canola, as well as their market overseas markets. So they're pretty much stuck with their Roundup Ready canola and having to sell it to themselves.
That's right. Yeah, it seems like these technologies just aren't really working for a lot of farmers.
Well, they seem to be working for the farmers, but for the consumers, they don't seem to be working so well.
Well, that's right. But as you say, the organic farmers who've lost their market, they're also suffering from this problem.
What I meant was that they can grow this stuff really well, but they can't seem to contain it very well.
That's right.
Is it going to work for us, do you think? We look to the future, we look toward a world where there is going to be so many more people in the same amount of space that we have today. Isn't genetic engineering one of the great hopes for that future? As part of the scientific community, don't you see that as a great hope?
Well, you know, the Union of Concerned Scientists is not an organization that is against genetic engineering altogether. But what we do think is that we ought to know that the kinds of methods we're using are safe, that the products that are coming out of these industries are safe, and that we're not going to be contaminating every other thing with genetically engineered varieties. And again, as I said before, we know that the USDA's system for regulating these things is broken. The courts have told us that.
That can be a very political decision by the courts as well, can't it?
Well, it is.
And there does seem to be a political component to this discussion, too. There seems to be a political dialogue going on here as well as a scientific one.
Well, I don't think so, really. These were three different judges that all found similar things. Mm-hmm. I would also say that in 2005, the USDA's own inspector general, that is the office that investigates what the agency does from within, put out a report that was quite scathing about the USDA's process and procedures for regulating and overseeing both pharma crops and other genetically engineered crops.
Well, the process seems to be one of accepting the word of whoever's doing this.
That's right.
Am I off there?
I think that's right. Some people might say that USDA is more of a lapdog than a watchdog of these industries.
So essentially, does the USDA have any field trials going on with genetically engineered crops?
Lots of companies are conducting field trials.
I mean, lots of companies are, but is the USDA conducting any trials?
The USDA doesn't conduct the trials, but it sets the regulations and rules under which companies do.
Okay, so then we're looking at a situation in which perhaps the U.S. government is validating what the companies are doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, there it is. Do you think that we can contain these genes? Phone numbers today, I'd like to hear from you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. I'll open up the program to phone callers, so we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do you believe that we can contain these genes? And what will happen to your appetite should these genes get out into the environment? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with Karen Perry Stillerman on the food chain. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Hey, we're back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain. We're talking about the genetically modified rice that Ventria Bioscience wants to plant in the great state of Kansas. This rice has been infused with a human gene. So the question we're asking today is, will that gene be contained down on the farm? We're going to go quickly to Dennis, who's on a cell phone. Dennis, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good.
I just want to say that I'm very concerned. The unintended consequences of a lot of research like this often have greater impact than the intended consequences. And we've already seen that these genetically modified crops, when out in the open, do spread to other areas and other plants. And I'm very concerned. And then when you mention the human gene, does that mean that the people that eat that rice are cannibals?
Well, Karen, you answer that question.
I'm not sure I would say cannibals, but I do think it's concerning. And Dennis, you mentioned unintended consequences, and we've seen that before. In fact, a couple of years ago, Australian scientists were genetically engineering peas, and they were using a gene from a bean. And they did what our Food and Drug Administration doesn't require people to do in this country, and they then took that genetically modified pea and fed it to laboratory mice to see, to make sure that it didn't have any adverse effects. And lo and behold, it caused an immune reaction in the lungs of those mice that neither the original pea nor the bean that gene came from ever caused. And so we see that when you start creating proteins in plants that don't normally make those proteins, they can have unintended consequences.
That's exactly what I'm concerned about. I oversaw a lot of research programs for many years at the university, and I know that the consequences can be devastating. I'm very concerned about it. An organic gardener for more than 20 years now, and it really is scary to think that all of my organic plants are not going to be pure anymore.
Well, chances are that they will be, but I guess what this portends that if this continues, it could just, who knows? I mean, if more and more and more and more companies keep experimenting with more and more and more plants, and who knows what will happen, right, Karen? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that is what we're saying, and this proposal in Kansas for more than 3,000 acres of pharmaceutical rice is the biggest proposal that, if it's approved, will have ever been carried out. So we are quite concerned that, you know, the larger these experiments get, and the more companies that jump into this game, the more at risk our food supply will be. And again, that's why the Union of Concerned Scientists is calling for a ban on growing food crops outdoors for these purposes.
Not necessarily food crops, but pharma crops, right?
Yes, using food crops as pharma crops.
Pharma crops. Okay, good. Dennis, you have a quick follow-up?
I'm in agreement with Karen, and I'd like to say that I think it's going to do nothing but expand if we let this happen in Kansas. And there's some strong winds in Kansas. We can expect that those genetic modified plants are going to start impacting everything that's downwind for hundreds and hundreds of miles. There was just a report yesterday of a personal check from Alabama that showed up. Some guy found it, you know, after it had been dropped in Alabama, found it hundreds of miles away in Georgia. And the pollen is much smaller and will blow farther. So I'm very, very concerned. Thanks for bringing this up.
You bet, Dennis. Thanks for the call.
Okay,
let's go quickly to Kay. Kay, welcome to the food chain.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I would be positively revolted to eat rice that has human gene in it. I think that these companies that are so interested in doing this genetic engineering have an ulterior motive.
Make money.
Of course, at our expense. And if people have diarrhea, well, they'll have to deal with it on their own. I certainly vote no against any of this kind of mixture.
Well, thank you so much for your vote.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Well, it doesn't seem like there are too many people outside the genetic engineering community who are too excited about this prospect. So what does the Union of Concerned Scientists want to see happen? What would be the ideal? One more thing that popped into my mind right at the last moment here is that it's not just for fighting diarrhea, but I see where the Ventria Bioscience Company wants to also put this gene or the products of that gene into granola bars and yogurt. They want to sell it for a supplement to. Why would they want to do that?
Well, I was going to mention that. Your previous caller would be dismayed to know that that's another thing that Ventria wants to do with these proteins is to put them as they call it a nutritional supplement, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure what exactly they think the benefit of that might be, but they would propose to put it in yogurts, sports drinks, and granola bars, as you mentioned, and so we really would be in a position of eating the proteins that came from this rice.
Well, as the laws are set up now, Karen, would we know what we're eating?
It's not clear. The FDA currently does not require a lot of that sort of labeling. So if these proteins, if the FDA actually allowed Ventria to go forward and put these proteins in food products, I'm not sure whether they would or wouldn't be labeled as such.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to ask Karen Perry Stillerman what she would like to see as part of the Union of Concerned Scientists. How should we go about developing this new skill we have of manipulating genetics of living things. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, the good Lord gave us a wonderful mind, and with that wonderful mind he gave us, we developed the ability to take the genes from one species of life and graft them into the genetic structure of another species and create a third species. And now we wonder where we're going to go with this wonderful new ability that we have developed. We can do wonderful things with it, and we can do probably some quite frightening things with it. I guess it's kind of like the atom, you know, harnessing the atom. We can power an entire country with the atom, and we can blow up an entire country with the atom. So there's some very good things and some very bad things, and we're trying to come to grips with which direction we're going. In this specific case, we're talking about a company in Sacramento, California, that wants to plant 3,500 or 200 acres of rice infused with a human gene, and use that rice to help heal people who have diarrhea. But what else can happen? Karen Perry Stillerman, senior analyst with the Union of Concerned Scientists. How should we, you know, speaking for your scientific community, how should we come to grips with this wonderful new technology that we have developed?
Well, as I said earlier, the Union of Concerned Scientists believes that we should not produce drugs and chemicals in food crops grown outdoors. We'd like to see the U.S. Department of Agriculture ban that practice. And we actually have a petition that people can sign. It's online at our website. People can go to www.protectourfood.org and sign that petition about these kinds of farm crops. As you also said, the company that's proposing to do this in Kansas has not actually been granted permission yet. The USDA seems to be leaning that way, but there is a public comment period open on this proposal until the 30th of March. And again, people can go to a website that I'll give in just a moment and write letters to the USDA expressing their opinion on this and hopefully opposing this plan. And they can go to ucsusa.org, click on the link that says food, and then click on the link that says Feed E-News, and they'll see a story about this Kansas plan and a link to go ahead and submit comments directly to the USDA.
Mm-hmm. What should our good friends who are listening on KFRM in Kansas think about this issue that they're going to have 3,200 acres of human rice planted amongst them?
Well, I think, you know, particularly if they're farmers, they ought to be concerned because, again, this trial would take place in a place where rice isn't grown, but according to the assessment that USDA has done, within 50 feet of these rice trials would be corn, soybeans, and winter wheat. And as we've talked about earlier, a strong wind could easily scatter some of these farmer rice seeds into a neighboring field and contaminate that food crop. One of the things that the pharma crop companies say is that, well, this is actually a good thing for farmers because it's a you know, high-value product, and they'll get paid more for it. And if we do this, there will be opportunities for farmers to grow these crops for a good return. Mm-hmm. We actually conducted a report a couple of years ago. An agricultural economist in Iowa did it for us, and he said, well, it doesn't look that way. It looks like whatever benefits society might get out of these crops, and right now they're quite unclear what those benefits might be, but that most of them really won't accrue to farmers, that the acreage is, in the big picture, too small, and the competition will be too great, and that farmers aren't expected to benefit greatly from this.
There you go, folks. Thanks for tuning in the Food Chain today. We thank also Karen Perry Stillerman from the Union of Concerned Scientists. A special thanks to all of you for tuning in. As you know, the Food Chain is media that talks with you and not at you, so log on your comments at metroform.com. See you all next week, and remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.